Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Huddle, ESPN Upstate. Just looking at a stat that ESPN had up on the screen about quarterbacks who were contacted the most by the defense while they were running or throwing. And man, Cam Newton is running away with that stat. 756 times. Was that last year?
I didn't see the qualifier. Yeah, I didn't know. I don't know. Is that in his career?
I think it's career.
Yeah, 756. That's a big number.
Yeah. Russell Wilson was second, I think, on the list. But it was not close.
616.
Yeah. So Cam certainly, it's not surprising that he's at the top of that list, but he's far and away at the top of that list. They do need to find ways to get him hit less as best they can.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, you consider Cam a running quarterback in some ways. You don't think of Andrew Luck that way, do you?
The fact
that he's on the list says a whole lot more about his offensive line.
Yeah, exactly. It's awful. Yeah. And that's why they're putting that up there, because they're at Baltimore or Indianapolis's mandatory minicamp.
Good to see him throw the ball.
And Luck's throwing.
Yeah, he's finally throwing the ball.
Yeah, he does. Well, they're not showing it after it leaves his hand.
No.
But he doesn't look like he's wincing or anything. Yeah,
They showed
Deshaun Watson a little bit earlier, too. So it's good to see both those guys out at camp.
Yeah, and Deshaun Watson did not have a knee brace on. I did notice that, which that was surprising.
Yeah. Good sign. He should be good to go, right?
I think so. All from what I've been reading is that he will be ready to go for game one.
Yeah. Well, the guys rushing Andrew Luck at minicamp are coaches in street clothes. I think he's probably not having to run for his life quite as much today. But anyway, keep an eye on minicamps as they go on. And it also states
that he's throwing a college-size football.
Is that right? He's not even throwing
an NFL-size football.
Wow.
Andrew Luck, that is.
Yeah. Interesting. Trying to ease him back into throwing the football. I guess any progress is better than no progress, which has kind of been the case with Andrew Luck for a while now. All right, so now that the NBA season is over, let the LeBron sweepstakes begin. And discussions are ramping up about who might make a run at LeBron James and where he might decide to go. Stephen A. Smith, ESPN, has his recommendation for LeBron.
The Los Angeles Lakers. I think from a lifestyle perspective, I think from a position of happiness, I think that, you know, from having a bright light shining down upon you with another star to come with you, with the young players that they have, I would be real excited to see that. The only exception to LA that I would pick is the Houston Rockets, assuming you can keep CP3 and James Harden if you were to acquire LeBron.
I don't want Houston. Go to the Lakers. Among those two, go to the Lakers. I don't want to watch LeBron on the same team with the beard. I know I've said that before.
You know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I just don't think they could coexist. There's a reason why Harden left when he was with Durant and Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted the ball, and now he's somewhere where he gets the ball. LeBron goes there, you ain't getting the ball.
No, you're going to sit there and watch Harden dribble it 200 times a possession. That's going to drive him nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, that would definitely lead to conflict, I'm thinking.
I think so, too. I will be shocked if he goes to Houston.
Yeah, I would be surprised as well if he goes to Houston. And I know there's a part of LeBron that you typically don't see him playing with younger guys. And so you look at the Lakers, and we know the Lakers are a young team, especially with Lonzo Ball and some of the other guys.
Ingram
there. I know he's been hurt, but in Kuzma, you know, so there's that aspect. Does LeBron want to be involved in that? So I think it's, if the Lakers are going to be in contention, I mean, they're going to have to bring somebody else in. I don't think it can just be they bring LeBron James in and he would be satisfied with that. I don't think he's, especially after how this season ended, J.R. Smith, what he did and just kind of the immature move there. And I think LeBron's wanting some experience. So mm-hmm. Houston does at least fit that. But I somewhat agree with Lonzo that I don't know if they could all necessarily coexist. Although you would have to say that maybe the pursuit of winning a championship overrides that for James Harden. Because I think that was one of the reasons why he left OKC as well, is that I don't think he felt that he could win, especially with Russell Westbrook. And we're seeing the same thing happen with Kevin Durant. He's like, I can't win in this place. Let me get out of here because of Russell Westbrook. They're never going to be able to win with Russell Westbrook as the face of the team.
Mm. About the Spurs. Doesn't LeBron love Pop?
He does.
How about that?
It's a veteran team. And the Spurs have, they've come out publicly and said they're going to make a run at LeBron. What that looks like, we don't know, but they're definitely going to try to be involved in the sweepstakes of LeBron James.
What do you think about that? Can the Spurs be your new favorite team, Lonzo?
Yeah, I can handle that. Like I
yeah,
said,
you can do that.
I'm open for any team except for Golden State.
Yeah.
Well, he's not going to Golden State. I can promise you that. Golden State doesn't need him. They don't want him.
Yeah, but
they don't want him.
Actually, they're going to have talks with them, supposedly.
They're on that short list.
They are on the list.
I don't think there's going to be any way that they're going to take him. Because if they do, then they've got to bust up the Warriors as they are right now.
They got to get rid of one of the big guys?
Well, yeah, they can't afford everybody, and especially with Kevin Durant getting ready for his max deal, Klay Thompson getting ready for his max deal. I mean, they're in a position where they would have to almost reboot. Now, that's a great reboot to bring in LeBron James. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. And I shouldn't say that they don't want him, but it's not as easy as people think just adding LeBron James to the Golden State Warriors.
Well, it's a bad play for him, I think.
Oh, I think so too, because there's already a contingency of people. The talk track is that Kevin Durant only chased, you know, being on a good team because he didn't want to be the lead dog and wanted to.
This would be even worse. Be even worse for LeBron. He'd just take a beating if he did that.
He would, especially after getting beat by
swept.
The Golden State Warriors and getting swept. And that's why, you know, with Kevin Durant, it wasn't like Golden State had just won the NBA championship and he goes to Golden State. They lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so Golden State was in the recruiting mode of going to try to pick up a piece that they felt that they needed to be able to beat LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, because I think they felt that LeBron's going to be a formidable opponent in the East. They just beat us, so how can we position ourselves to beat LeBron James? Let's go get arguably the second best player in the NBA right now, Kevin Durant. And I don't fault Kevin Durant for going.
No, I don't either. I didn't at the time. Look, he wants to win, and I got that. And he didn't join a team that has him on it. You know, that's the difference to me. Durant's there now. That just makes that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why I don't see it's way too complicated for Golden State to try to really be in the sweepstakes of LeBron on both sides, for Golden State and for LeBron. It's way too messy for LeBron's legacy,
mm-hmm.
if he's actually even concerned about that. And as humans, there is an aspect, yes, you are. I don't care what people say. We're all human beings like that. We think in those type of terms, you know, how people view us.
Yeah, and the problem with this story is it's going to drag out. It's not going to happen quickly. I mean, the timeline is he has to inform the Cavs if he's going to opt out of the final year of his contract by 11:59 p.m. on June 29th. So that's still 17 days away before he even has to do that. Should he opt out and become an unrestricted free agent, Cleveland can outbid any other suitor by offering him a 5-year max contract worth approximately $205 million. And then July 1st, other organizations can start pitching LeBron James. Cavs don't have to wait because he's already on their team.
Well, and you also know that who doesn't have to wait, because there's no tampering on the side of players. So other NBA players, they can be recruiting LeBron James right now.
Right.
Where the teams can't. So
rest assured. He has a bunch of friends,
too. Yeah, rest assured, there's a lot of people talking to him right now.
I mean, any vibe, any feeling, you agree with Stephen A., Los Angeles?
That's what's been said for a year now, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know. I know I'm being unrealistic in your eyes. I just don't think he goes anywhere. I just think he stays where he is and maybe coaxes some other guys to come there.
Man, that's too hard.
Yeah, that's what hasn't been talked enough about is that does he have the ability to recruit players to Cleveland?
Mm-hmm.
Could he recruit a Chris Paul to come to Cleveland? I just don't see it happening.
I don't either. I mean,
well, does Chris Paul have a better chance of winning with Harden or with LeBron?
Well, he almost did this year.
No, you're right. He absolutely did.
Not just about those two guys either. I mean, you know, it's everybody else on the team.
Yeah, Houston's a very good team. And I contend that I think they do beat Golden State if Chris Paul would have been able to stay healthy.
I mean, yeah, they were that close without him, so.
They were up 3-2.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen Golden State come back before. They did that against OKC when they were down 3-2 and Klay Thompson went off.
Mm-hmm.
But I just felt that Houston had home court advantage and would have been able to finish that series off with a healthy Chris Paul because they just didn't have enough at the end. The third and fourth quarter in both games 6 and 7, they just didn't have anything left in the tank.
This is going to be a deal where we're watching what LeBron's doing every day now. Where's he vacationing? Who's there?
Yes.
Who's he talking to?
And every innuendo is going to be made that every barbershop is going to be talking about it, that, hey, we saw LeBron's kids over here,
mm-hmm.
you know, talking to these, viewing these schools.
He's looking at houses here, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be weeks of this before we finally know, but again, it's a good time of year for it.
LeBron James moves the needle, that's for sure.
And he knows he's going to go out of his way to go to places on purpose to make it look like he's going there.
Yeah, that's what you should do is just visit every prospect city and hang out.
It'll be interesting to see how active he is on social media.
Is he active?
He's been off for a while.
He has, yeah, but it's been.
But he'll be back on soon.
I think so, too. I think it's just been he's been focused on the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Going to be fascinating. If you would like to chime in on that, text line open 71307. Start your text with ESPN. You can call us. What do you think LeBron's going to do? 844-477-3776. And on Twitter at ESPN Upstate here. Let's break. Come back with more here. The Tuesday Election Day issue of the Huddle. By the way, you can vote up until 7 o'clock tonight. Get out and do that. 7 o'clock, the polls close. I'm sure our sister station, WRD 106.3, will have tons of election coverage tonight, Lonzo.
We have an election special from 8 to 9 p.m.
Okay.
So if you want to know the results, tune in to the show.
Good. Appreciate that. Back in a moment in the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back into the Huddle, ESPN Upstate, Tuesday afternoon. GMAC, Richmond, Lonzo, 844-477-3776. Text line 71307. And Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Our Twitter poll is up today, and it involves the World Cup. Yes, that's where we are, folks. Now that the NBA and college baseball, locally at least, is wrapped up.
Exciting times.
Well, the FIFA World Cup starts Thursday. It's in Russia, right?
It is in Russia.
Where?
Do you know? Mother Russia.
You know where? What city?
I don't
even have to look at it.
Russia has changed so much over the past 20 years, I don't even know what's really considered Russia, what's not.
Well, where is Russia anymore? Anyway, the USA didn't make it. And so with that in mind, we asked the question with no USA involvement, how much World Cup will you watch this year? And 19% of you so far on our Twitter poll have said a lot, 19%. 17% said some. Guess what that leaves? 64% say little or none. Little or none.
And I would imagine 63% of that 64% is none.
Probably so. I mean, why watch a little, right? If you're interested at all, you probably watch at least some. Porter, responding to the poll, says it's the most exciting sporting event, in my opinion. I know we have college football, but the atmosphere in the World Cup is number one. It stopped a civil war, for goodness sakes. Okay.
What?
Not the Civil War.
Not the Civil War, but a Civil War.
I don't know the name.
I tried to look up where in Russia it is, and it just says Russia. So, I mean.
The atmosphere in the world. I mean, the atmosphere is great. I mean, yeah.
I agree with
event,
that. Yes. I agree with that. And it really is, especially once you get down to, you know, the final game. But for the casual fan with no America in it, it changes the dynamics drastically, just like the Olympics would. If the USA is not in the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
How many people are actually going to be watching the Olympics?
Yeah. Well, this is interesting. Does this surprise you? By the way, the first game on Thursday is in Moscow.
That makes sense. So it'll be multiple cities within Russia.
Yeah. But the United States will send more visiting supporters to the World Cup in Russia than any other nation. And we're not even playing. Does that surprise you? That surprises me. Why are people going?
More supporters?
Yeah, more people are going from the United States. That's what they say. 88,825 ticket sales recorded in the U.S. since last September. Now, you know, there's been 2.4 million tickets sold, so it's not a big percentage there. But, you know, the vast majority have been sold to fans in Russia. 871,000 have been sold to fans in Russia. 88,825 in the U.S. Second after that, after Russia, then the U.S., so third, I guess, is Brazil. And they're the favorites to win the World Cup. 75,000, 72,000 tickets.
Would that have anything to do with that? America is much more affluent than most of these other countries.
Sure, but I mean, is that where you want to spend your money? If the U.S., if you got the money, that's one thing. You want to go if the U.S.
If you're into soccer, and that's an opportunity to travel to Russia.
Yeah, and it's 88,000 tickets. That's not like millions. So there's that many people here that will go do that. Obviously.
It'd be interesting to see what that number would look like if the U.S. was in it.
Yeah, it is.
And what does Fox Sports, how are they taking this in terms of the money that they spent?
It's not good.
Then U.S. doesn't even qualify.
No.
Yes, that had to be a stinger for them. I can't remember the exact amount of money, but I know it was a large figure. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. Colombia comes in after Brazil, 65,000 tickets. 60,000 tickets sold in Mexico, 54,000 in Argentina, 43,000 in Peru. All of those have outsold England, which is traditionally one of the best back teams in a major tournament. Only 32,000 tickets bought in England so far. The absence of Italy, the Netherlands, the Republic of Ireland, and Chile has raised the prospect of some games at this year's World Cup being played to smaller crowds than they originally thought. But yeah, I mean, people in the U.S. are buying tickets, second most after Russia. I don't know. I'm somewhat surprised by that.
There's no doubt that soccer is growing as a sport in America. So I think this just continues some of that. But to your point, it is surprising that they're showing the support considering America is not even in it. But I think it's just a unique opportunity that these fans get to go over to Russia.
Remember, we had watch parties going on last time locally.
Mm-hmm.
Downtown, we did one downtown in a parking lot. Remember that? You weren't here. But
I wasn't
Anzo,
here.
You remember that.
But I remember hearing about several different watch parties.
Yeah. I guess that's not going to happen this time, huh?
I didn't get it then. I don't get it now.
Well, I mean, come on. The U.S. is in there. You kind of get it, right?
Yes. You got to be in it when the U.S. is involved.
Clinton Country Dempsey,
pride.
Furman guy.
Yes.
All that. But, you know, what do you hang your hat on now? You just have to be a soccer fan. And there are enough to, I don't know that, you know, will Fox lose money on it? I don't know.
Now, see, we know there's nothing on other than baseball. And if you're looking for something to watch and you come across a soccer game, how long do you stay on it? Or do you keep on flipping? Because I'm going to keep on flipping. No offense. No, I understand that's the biggest sport in the world. It's just not for me.
The one thing that I do love about it is, you know, it's over. Less than 2 hours. You're in and out.
Yeah, I mean,
so from that perspective,
even if it's a 0-0 score or 1-0, I just, you know, I like scoring, man. I just
now that I've
it.
Been able to watch my daughter play soccer for the past several years, I would have to say I'm getting more into it, and I do like the situations where at any moment somebody can score, and I do like that. Now, do I wish there was more scoring? Yes.
Watching your kids play can make you have more interest. I watched my daughter play softball for 12 years. If I ran across the softball game, I would watch the softball game quicker than watching soccer any day.
Yeah, but now if your daughter would have played soccer, maybe it would have been a different story.
Yeah, but I wouldn't allow that. So you don't have to worry about that.
Wouldn't allow it. No soccer for you. You're right about, first of all, that there's very few commercial breaks. I mean, they don't break.
No.
So if you hate commercials, it's the sport for you.
It is. And you know, I mean, it's 90 minutes of action.
Yeah.
Right?
So that's good, but action might be overstating.
Well, yes. 90 minutes of
there's continuous
of
motion.
Playing. Yes.
I mean, it can be a little
Well, and I know playing, that was what was so frustrating for me, and not that I really played, but just recreationally was You're running. Somebody kicks the ball all the way back down the other side of the field, and you're like, oh, "Well, now I got to run back over here."
Yeah, I got that. It'll probably do fine because we have more and more soccer fans in America now.
Yeah, we do. Ever. And it does amaze me though what some of these people can do with a ball and their feet. I mean, it's incredible how they can direct the ball just by kicking it and. The type of action that they can put on the ball when you see some of these shots that, I mean, curveballs, knuckleballs, it's amazing what some of these athletes can do.
It is. Don't go to the bathroom. You might miss the one goal of the game.
That's right. Yes, you got to be very careful.
All right. 844-477-3776. Text line 71307. We'll be back with more. This is The Huddle for Tuesday. I'm getting ahead of myself on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back. So we're back. The Huddle. ESPN Upstate, Election Day, primary day anyway. I guess we're definitely going to have a runoff in 2 weeks. So, don't get ready for the ads to disappear after today. That's not going to happen.
Well, at least some of them will.
Yeah. How many runoffs you think we'll have?
How many runoffs? How many people in runoffs? What are you asking me? Because I don't know anything about this.
Yeah. So, I mean, in each primary, will there be a runoff for the Democratic governor, runoff for the Republican.
More than likely
governor.
In all races, there probably will be a runoff for Republican because there's quite a few running in every
Did you see the list of Republican candidates for Congress in the 4th District? I mean, I think we three are the only ones not running.
We did consider it, though, but the field was just too big for us.
I mean, wow.
I didn't get my paperwork turned in time.
Yeah.
To announce my candidacy.
Yeah, there'll be lots of runoffs. How many? I don't know, but lots. So in 2 weeks, there'll be more commercials for a couple of weeks, and then maybe I'll take a little break, and then as we approach November, they'll be ramping back up.
That's right.
So that's where we are. They're here to stay, political ads and signs and all that stuff that goes with us. Want to see what you guys make of this Julio Jones story, Atlanta Falcons wide receiver. He has told the Falcons he will not attend mandatory mini camp. Thomas Dimitroff, the general manager of the Falcons, released a statement yesterday, said, "We've been in contact with Julio and his representation. We will not discuss those conversations publicly, except to say we feel they have been productive and constructive. We understand the concerns and thoughts from their perspective. Although not ideal, Julio informed us he will not be attending mini camp. We have much respect for him and what he means to our team, our city, and our fans." Now, Josina Anderson at ESPN is saying that sources have told her that the Jones camp sent a proposal to the Falcons. The response was not satisfactory, so Jones did not see fit to attend mandatory mini camp. The thing is that Julio Jones has 3 years left on his contract. I mean, this is an early battle, isn't it?
Early.
$35 million and 3 years left on his contract. But he doesn't like what he's making. Antonio Brown at Pittsburgh is making $17 million a year. There are seven other receivers who average more than his $14.25 million a year. When Jones signed his deal, 5 years, $71.25 million, the extension back in 2015, he got $47 million guaranteed. That's the same amount of guaranteed money that Jarvis Landry received after being traded from Miami to Cleveland. I'm not sure why they put that in, because that's the comparison that he doesn't like. I mean, there's lots of comparisons that Julio doesn't like.
I get it, and I understand he might be frustrated, but that's a situation where you've got to honor the contract, and that's back on him for signing the contract that he did when he initially signed. It's 3 years left. If I'm the Falcons, I don't think I'd do anything with this.
I mean, he's not going to sit out, is he?
I wouldn't imagine that he would, but if I'm the Falcons, I push back here. It's 3 years left on this deal.
Yeah, there is. You don't make any concessions. You don't do anything for him. A little million here and there. I mean, this, you know, we're talking real money here. I got that. He's going to be fined. He could face maximum fines of $14,000, $28,000, and $42,000. For missing mandatory minicamp Tuesday through Thursday. So I guess it goes up each day that he misses. He did not show up for any part of voluntary workouts, no OTAs. Dan Quinn, the coach, said initially he expected Julio Jones at camp. Well, guess what? And Jones, you don't want this. Jones has been talking to TMZ. He told them last month there is no bad blood between him and the team. He's been working with Terrell Owens during the offseason. There you go. You can get some good advice from that dude.
Not sure that's the guy you really want to be.
Oh, man.
Getting advice at this point.
It's not going well, is it?
No, it's not.
It doesn't look good. Matt Ryan, quarterback, said he had no concern about Jones missing the voluntary part of the offseason program. Despite much talk about Jones being healthy enough to work on timing with Ryan, Jones is entering his eighth NFL season, looking for his fifth straight season with 1,400-plus receiving yards. That's the production. That's pretty incredible.
Oh, production. I get it. He's productive.
Yeah.
And there's been talk about that the Falcons should obviously lean on him more on the offensive side, and they questioned during the regular season why they didn't go to him more often. But how can you have this guy hold – the Falcons to restructuring his contract when there's still 3 years left?
Yeah, I know. I get that. It's early. He probably shouldn't have done a five-year deal. But, you know, it was good money at the time. Seemed like a good idea at the time, right? I hope they get that fixed because, you know, we're in June. They need to get this done. Pretty quickly.
And I would imagine
it's not
that
moving in that direction.
They will make some concessions, but if I'm the Falcons, it should be very minimal.
Yeah. David Johnson is also skipping minicamp. He's the running back at Arizona. He's trying to get a new contract. Those sides have been in discussion regarding a new contract. They're hopeful a new deal will be reached before the start of the season. This is the last year of Johnson's rookie contract. He's due to make $1.9 million this season. The team can franchise him in 2019 and 2020. They begin minicamp today. Johnson didn't participate in two OTAs last week that were open to the media. Coach Steve Wilks characterized his absence as an injury. Okay. The one thing, Wilks said, that I will say in regards to that is the offseason. I'm not going to indulge in injuries or things like that, what guys are doing that are not participating. Here's the famous quote. We are going to talk about the guys who are here. I love that quote. Okay. Tom Brady's not there. You're not going to talk about him?
Not going to talk about him. No. We have no...
Aaron Rodgers not here. Well, we're going to talk about the guys.
We have no interest in talking about any of our players that are on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Only the ones that are just currently here.
Key players that are missing, we're not going to talk about. I mean, that's just one of the dumbest sports cliches that I've ever heard right there.
Because that's the biggest issue. It's the guys that are not there, right?
That's why we want to talk about him. That's why. Now, Johnson has been hurt a lot. 2016, his season ended with an MCL in Week 17. He finished just 121 receiving yards short of being the third player in NFL history to pass 1,000 yards in rushing and receiving. He was a first-team All-Pro, Pro Bowler, after rushing for 1,239 yards, 879 receiving yards, and scoring 20 touchdowns. But then he was hurt in Week 1 last year and missed 15 games with a fractured left wrist. And now he's not showing up to minicamp.
Yeah. And that's why it's hard for these teams to invest a lot of money into these running backs. And that's why you see running backs, they don't last long in this league. Part of it is their injuries. And once they get a certain age, teams say goodbye. I mean, you see it happen all the time. Once you hit 28, 29, now I know he's not there yet, but when you factor in the injury situation, now broken wrist, that's not like a situation where he's having knee problems or, you know, problems with his legs, but still, these teams, they don't put value on the running backs like they used to.
No, no question. And then from Jacksonville comes word that Jalen Ramsey did not skip the voluntary organized team activities because he's unhappy with his teammates or his head coach or his contract. He decided to train with his father in Nashville because he believed that would better prepare him for the season. That's just weird, too, isn't it? I'm going to work out with Dad. I won't be there.
I don't know what his dad's background is. Maybe his dad is a coach and is
still
a trainer.
Yeah, that's just a weird decision to me. Yeah, he says he's trying to avoid injuries. He's been injured the last 2 years. He says it's a decision he doesn't regret, and he doesn't think his teammates are upset about it. Ramsey said, "How do I put this the nicest way possible? I don't think any of my teammates had an issue because they know I'm going to come back ready. But at the same time, if they did, I don't think I would care. Because once I get out here, I know what I'm doing. I was doing the right thing for me. It's going to get me prepared as best as anything for the season." All right. Train with his father, Lamont. Here's the deal on Lamont. He heads up Ramsey Performance Training, so he has that background. And he has said that that actually has him ahead of schedule compared to the last two off seasons. Last 2 years, he's been limited in OTAs because of various issues. Says this year I'm trying to avoid that so far. I've been good with avoiding that. Ramsey has 6 interceptions in 2 seasons, first-team All-Pro and a Pro Bowler in 2017 with 4 interceptions and 52 tackles. Okay, so father knows best, I guess. That's what they're going to do.
Well, he's got a performance training center. So
yeah, he knows what he's doing, I guess.
At least he has a background in that.
Do you agree that teammates won't have a problem with that? None of them are saying, "What? What are you doing?" No, I don't know.
Maybe some of his teammates are training with him.
Yeah, well, then just don't have the OTAs. Everybody can go to Dad's place.
Exactly. No, I think there's obviously going to be some players that will have a problem with that. Again, we're getting to a point where what's the value of the OTAs? I mean, we're seeing more and more guys skip the OTAs.
Mm-hmm. And I understand the younger guy, but Ramsey's a younger guy. You know, he's been around that long. So I would imagine that the team would love to have him there.
Yeah,
take our final break of the hour. We'll come back and get to a phone call and much more when we return. 844-477-3776. In the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back. Back in the Huddle, 844-477-3776. Let's go to the phones and talk to Jason next. Hello, Jason. Welcome in. Thanks for hanging on. How are you?
Hey, no problem. I'm doing good. This Julio Jones and his holdout, I 3 years on this contract. Falcons they don't need to give anything at all. They're holding all the cards here, I guess, not my opinion. I guess I have a problem with these guys. Just play out their contract. It's different if you're a free agent and one team wants to, franchise you or whatever, but that's all fair game in my opinion. But the same thing with Earl Thomas. I don't understand what's going on with the safety position. For some reason they're not as high of demand. Maybe it's not so much that, it's just there's a larger demand for shutdown corners and maybe strong side defensive ends and good defensive tackle on defense. Maybe the safety positions become the kind of the running back of the defense when, you know, as far as contracts go. But, you know, just the Falcons, you know, Julio is one of the best receivers in the league. And I guess he's the eighth highest. Yeah, I don't think there's seven better wide receivers than him. He signed a contract years ago.
Right.
And you know, it's not like he's getting chump change either. So, you know, just I don't know. I wouldn't give in, but we'll see what happens. But
thank you, anyway. Jason. Appreciate it. Yeah, here's my question. No question that Julio has outperformed his contract, right? We can agree on that?
Yes, we can agree on that.
If he had underperformed his contract, would he be willing to give some money back?
Of course not.
Really?
Yeah, just like in school, the teacher gives you an A by accident.
Yeah.
You think you're going to go and say, you know what? No, never mind.
I mean, think about how many guys are in that category that, hey, we paid them and they just didn't pan out. Happens all the time.
All the time.
And they don't get the money back. The teams don't get the money back. They have to pay him. I mean, it's just the process you agreed to. I kind of agree with Jason on this.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying all along is that, hey, I'm sorry you signed that deal when you signed it, but that's what happens in these situations that as contracts get bigger, now, hey, Julio, you'll have the opportunity of signing a bigger contract, but you're just going to have to continue at this pay rate.
Well, except that by the time this one runs out, he's an old man. I'm just kidding.
But
you know, he made that choice to sign the long-term deal.
He did.
Too long, probably,
yes.
For his own benefit.
And that's why I think I'm on the side of the Falcons here that they can't be beholden to just what he's seeing elsewhere. Just because teams elsewhere give these players contracts at these different type of levels that we're seeing, record levels for receivers, doesn't mean that Julio Jones has that they're going to give in. He can go ask for more money. There's nothing wrong with asking. I'm all about that. It's the holding out, yes.
Of course, they're not going to listen to him when he asks. Will they listen to him because he's holding out a little more?
Well, obviously that's what is happening these days. You see guys holding out. I'm trying to think of a situation where there's been a guy holding out and then finally just has to come back to the current contract because the team is unwilling to do anything. Maybe it's happened where they ship him away, you know, trading the player. I just don't see the Falcons trading Julio Jones.
Well,
right
they don't
now.
Want to do that for sure.
Of course not.
No. Roddy White, who was the Falcons' number one receiver for a while, he retired after 2015. He says Julio Jones deserves to be paid more than Antonio Brown. He says it's a tough situation, but the numbers would tell you he's way, way, way outplayed being paid the amount of money that they've given him. A lot of times you don't want to rub people the wrong way. On the other hand, when people look at the numbers and start stacking them up against people that are making more money than him, then it verifies that he should be paid a lot more money. Yes, he deserves to be the highest paid receiver. I think he does based on performance. For me, that's a no-brainer. Well, yeah, you stack him up and he looks like he should be pay more, but once again, if he were underperforming, he wouldn't be given any money back. Now, Jones making $14.2 million as it stands for 2018. $14.2 million. He's making less than Sammy Watkins, who's making $16 million, than Devontae Adams of my Packers making $14.5 million, and way less than Antonio Brown, who's making $17 million. That's the deal that he made. See how it plays out. Right now, he's holding out. 844-477-3776. The text line is 71307 here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. We do have an hour to go in the show today. Our three questions segment is coming up, including a question about Hunter Johnson, who's decided where he's going to school after leaving Clemson. That's all ahead in the huddle. Stay with us on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.